Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Friday has arrived. So is spring. Going to be hot in L.A. tomorrow. The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Nice to have you in today. Tournament this weekend. Big tournament game Saturday and Sunday. Leonard Fournette just signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Can you imagine being Aaron Rodgers? They bring everybody back. Everybody back. And he couldn't get his Pro Bowl center. Green Bay couldn't afford Aaron Rodgers' Pro Bowl center, who they got in the fifth round, so they never paid him a nickel, and he was a Pro Bowler, and they couldn't keep him. And every single star for Tampa comes back. Everyone.
Everyone is not great with the cap. We like to think that that's the case.
It's just incredible.
Everyone is not working with the same budget.
You know, this goes back to something we've said before, too, is that, listen, when you pay Aaron Rodgers $37 million and Russell Wilson $37 million, you can't keep guys.
Yep, that also adds up.
Yeah, so let me start with this, though. This is interesting. So in our business, when a story breaks, you as a consumer, you read the story. My question is always, who leaked it? Who's got something to win? Who's got something to lose? So the story on Russell Wilson and the Bears is still out there from legitimate reporters, Diana Rossini, Adam Schefter, Jeff Darlington, that Seattle could still trade Russell Wilson to the Chicago Bears or trade him, period. So my takeaway is, okay, who's leaking this story now? Which party is sending it out there? So you could say Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's like, hey, you've signed some guys, and I saw what you did with Carlos Dunlap yesterday. You re-signed him. I'm happy, but I'm going to keep the pressure on you. Certainly possible. Pete Carroll could be leaking this stuff. And John Snyder, hey, we're still not happy what you did taking this thing public, and we've gone to the pro days for Trey Lance. We'll move off you. Or the Chicago Bears. And this is my guess. It's the Bears leaking this story. So that Ryan Pace, the general manager, who's now 0-for-4 on quarterbacks, can say, hey, I never stopped fighting for Russell Wilson. I didn't want Andy Dalton. I threw everything but the kitchen sink at Russell Wilson. You thought that deal was done? I'm still fighting for him up to the draft. I want Russell Wilson. We couldn't win here big, but it's not like I didn't try. It's not like I didn't do everything. Because I start looking around at this deal and I think, I guess Russell Wilson's side could leak it, but you got to be honest. They got him a new offensive coordinator, an athletic tight end, upgraded on the offensive line, re-signed their fullback, and then re-signed Carlos Dunlap, their pass rusher. You can't blame, I mean, Russell Wilson could be leaking this, but Seattle does look better than last year, and they were 12-4 last year. This morning, I think Seattle feels a little better than last year. No, 12-4. Pete Carroll could be leaking it, but Pete's not dumb. He knows that noise in the offseason is bad, and he also knows he's never had a losing season with Russell Wilson. What's the floor for Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll? 9-7, and that's in the best division in football. Since Russell arrived, Harbaugh was with the Niners. They were great. Then McVay gets to the Rams. They're great. Now Arizona's spending money and got a star quarterback. It's a very, very good division. So my gut feeling is this, you know, they call it forecasting. This is wish casting. This is the Chicago Bears front office trying to throw something out there. They're a bad trade partner. It doesn't work. They've only got the 20th pick. Seattle needs great picks. Right? If Seattle wants to trade with somebody, it would be like the Jets where they could get all those picks back, right? Get a second pick in the draft, second pick, second round, second pick, third round. Chicago's got the 20th pick. They were a playoff team. They also have no quarterback to give Seattle in return. They're also up against the cap. It's a bad deal for Russell Wilson. At this point, why would Chicago? It's a bad fit. So this feels like to me Chicago is leaking this story so that Ryan Pace in the end can save his butt, can save his job and say, hey, if they go 7-9 with Andy Dalton, he can say, hey, we tried to get Russell Wilson. He can go to the owner. I tried. I made multiple runs. Here's the story. We threw everything at him. Nobody pursued Russell as hard as we did. Nobody was as aggressive as we were. Because this story's coming from somewhere. These are legitimate sources. Diana Rossiti, Adam Schefter, Jeff Darlington. These are people that break stories. They're all coming out with these stories. So somebody is leaking it. And I'm trying to figure it out on my phone. I'm trying to figure out who's leaking it on my phone. I was told 2 weeks ago Chicago made a run at him. And that was validated. But this story now, this feels like Chicago's throwing it out there to save their butt. So this is interesting. You know, I've said this before. It'd be one thing if you had like a sibling rivalry with your sister or your brother. But, you know, they lived in Missouri and you lived in Florida and you didn't have to see them every day. But if you had that sibling rivalry and, I mean, your brother was doing way better than you and he lived right around the corner and you always drove by his new cars and his bigger house. The kids had a great backyard and a swimming pool. It kind of sting a little bit, right? So when Kawhi comes to the Lakers, he's in the same city and he plays in the same building as LeBron. And I saw this story. Rajon Rondo got traded to the Clippers for Lou Williams. When the Lakers went and got Rondo, they literally needed a third scoring option. They're like, dude, can you give us 12 a night? AD and LeBron were carrying all the scoring. They're making this move for chemistry and leadership. Lakers didn't need Rondo for chemistry and leadership. Let's be honest about this. Kawhi Leonard's been a disappointment. He's missed 24 starts. He was awful in Game 7 against Denver last year in the bubble. He was terrible. He's not really a player that elevates others. They're now bringing in Rondo at the end of his career for leadership and chemistry. And he turned off teammates with some special treatment. Let's be honest about this. He's a great player, but it's been disappointing. And when you put him in the same building, in the same city with LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard shrinks. Doesn't really lead, doesn't elevate teammates, misses a lot of games. This year he's been bad at the end of fourth quarters. They brought Kawhi Leonard here to be their LeBron. And in the end, what are the Clippers today? Doc Rivers is gone. Lou Williams now gone. Montrezl Harrell was the sixth man of the year last year. Gone. Paul George in the playoffs, disappointing. And Kawhi, when propped up next to LeBron, is kind of limited. Can't build a culture with him. Now the Clippers are sort of a collection of players that wear the same uniform, but what are they? It's interesting. When the Lakers brought on Rondo, they really actually needed about 10 to 12 points a game. I mean, they couldn't trust Kyle Kuzma. Go back to the roster last year. It was an old team. Thank God KCP hit big shots in the bubble. Big shots against Denver. Big shots against Miami. They didn't have a third scoring option. That's okay. I get that. But if you're bringing Rondo in for leadership and chemistry, when you've got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, I mean, Kawhi's just now, he's just a talented basketball player. And it feels like this move, by the way, he's a free agent pretty quick, kind of feels like this move so far is a big disappointment. What are the Clippers today? Are they have great chemistry? Not really. Do they have a great bench? Do they have, you know, do you feel like they match up particularly well now with the Lakers? Lakers have won two of the last three against them. I mean, listen, I live in the city. It's great to have two NBA teams that are interesting, and they're both interesting. But it's funny, they bring Rondo for chemistry and leadership because it's like they got their scores. Really? You know, this is what I say all the time. There's a big difference. There's about four guys in this league that are not only great players, they are chemistry builders, leadership builders, and culture builders. Steph, LeBron, Jimmy Butler, Chris Paul. Those guys give you the whole package. You get everything with them. Kawhi, now that he's had to build the culture, he's just a talented guy. and the league's full of them.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marion, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marion. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Everybody's got a feel for something. And you see it a lot in football and in sports, in the NFL. There are just some guys that don't have a feel for things. And I've said this about Belichick. He doesn't have a feel for offensive skill people. He really doesn't. He is a great coach. He does almost everything well, but you can't go 10 years and have one offensive Pro Bowler. And you got the Saints have like, you know, 15 during that time. But Mike McCarthy yesterday of the Cowboys is talking about, it's all about defense. This year is all about defense. Dan Quinn's an upgrade, no question. But Mike McCarthy's got no feel for defense. None. We think of Mike McCarthy as an offensive guy. Aaron Rodgers, he drove him crazy with that. He has no track record of a defense. The last time he had a top 10 defense was 11 years ago. His last 9 years of head coaching, he's averaged in the 20s. He hasn't had a top 20 scoring defense in his last 4 years as a head coach. And I also know he has no feel for it beyond the data because he hired Mike Nolan, which was an eye roll around the NFL. Listen, they're just some guys, they can smell it, they can sense it. Ron Rivera, Washington, immediately on defense, was number two in the NFL last year. He didn't even have a preseason. He was battling cancer. Ron Rivera had limited time. Already the second-best defense. Mike Tomlin, Steelers' number three defense. He's got a feel for it in the draft. He's got a feel for it schematically. How about Brian Flores, who coached under Belichick? How in God's name, in a rebuilding process, can you have the number three defense in the NFL, Brian Flores? He's got a feel for it. And by the way, Green Bay's defense last year was ninth, the best it's been in years. Why? McCarthy's gone. And so Dallas is in a weird spot. They have a huge need on defense. But you've got an owner in Jerry Jones that loves offensive players. He wants to draft a quarterback and a wide receiver and a running back every year. So the owner loves offense. Why wouldn't he? Big brand in the NFL. It's flashy. It's fun. Last thing they needed was CeeDee Lamb. But, you know, he's a good player. And then you have a coach who's got no feel for defense. So I do think Dan Quinn is an upgrade. But, I mean, I always felt with Jeff Fisher, he doesn't have an innate feel for offense. Andy Reid clock management, always a little bit of an issue. There's no track record that Mike McCarthy can create a great defense. In fact, I could argue he's in a division with first, second, or third best defensive coach Ron Rivera. But it is interesting. He wants to solve the defense. Well, the organization doesn't have a history. I mean, last year, the Cowboys were top 10 in offensive spending and second to last in defensive spending. That's who they are. That's their reality.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Breaking news. Oh, Lordy. The Dolphins are trading the number three overall pick to the 49ers. So Miami gets the 12th pick. That's San Francisco's. They get a third-round pick, and they get first-round picks next year and the next year from San Francisco. So now, it's interesting because San Francisco's in the NFC, Dolphins in the AFC. Teams, generally, when you make these blockbuster deals, you'd like it to be in somebody else's neighborhood. You don't want somebody coming back to burn you. This is a massive deal. So Adam Schefter says, Niners are holding on to Jimmy G. No plans to trade him. Oh, God, I love the NFL. So the Dolphins, who already had picks, they're sticking with Tua. They're going to get the 12 pick. You know, there is a chance they could get a quarterback at 12. My guess is they'll all be taken by then. So San Francisco's getting up to the – you're not trading up to that pick for an offensive lineman. So San Francisco's taking a quarterback. They're not. Sam Darnold remains sad and lonely in his apartment in New York. Nobody going after Sam Darnold. So you don't make this move unless you're going to get a quarterback. So San Francisco's drafting a quarterback.
It's very dramatic news.
God, I love. You know how many times we've had breaking news on the show?
I know. It's crazy. Just this offseason alone. This is a lot of repercussions, this trade.
All right. I mean, it's a lot of different things. Number one, Miami's going with Tua.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Number two, Jimmy G's last year in San Francisco. This is
it. Absolutely. I mean, this is ripple effects on other teams in the draft as well, who are trying to probably move up for that
well,
spot.
Well, and listen, I don't blame San Francisco. Like, Jimmy G, I said it the other day, four times, Joy, he has started the season as a quarterback for a team. Three of the four, he couldn't get through September. Like, they're just done doing the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously capable of leading a team to the Super Bowl and playing well in that. But that high level matched with his inability to stay healthy brings him to a middle-of-the-road quarterback. Like, it balances out. You can't plan your future around a guy that you don't know is going to be available.
All right, I need to...
You need to process this? Yeah, I have to toss this around as well.
We have to process stuff. I mean, if you were at work and all of a sudden, something crazy happened, you just have to go back into the back room and sit there and...
Well, I think
can we smoke cigars in here? Do I need to process?
Yeah. We need a scotch to kind of settle this down.
All right, San Francisco's going after quarterback. So it's going to go Trevor Lawrence, probably Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields or Trey Lance. I like Trey Lance, but I like them both. I know that all four aren't going to work. One of them's not going to work. But the thing is, I can make an argument for all of them move well. So that's football. So, like, all of them move well.
Well, if they're going to stick with Jimmy G and you take Trey Lance, he doesn't have to play right away.
Yeah. I like Trey Lance.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Okay, breaking news. The Dolphins are trading their number 3 pick to the Niners. So Miami goes from 3 to 12. San Francisco 12-3. Dolphins also get a bunch of other picks. I am told just now, a source tells me that Miami is going to move back up to number 6 and trade with Philadelphia, who's got the 6 pick, and Philly goes back to 12. Now, they're going to give Philly a bunch of stuff to do that. So that tells you, if my source is right on that, so Miami goes from 3 to 12 and gets a ton of picks, that Miami is going to go back up to the number 6 spot with Philadelphia. Philadelphia now is going to get some picks and move back to the 12 spot. So Philadelphia basically saying, we're going to give Jalen Hurts the season. We don't need a quarterback. We'll take more picks. So Miami tendered the deal with San Francisco. So Miami had that number 3 pick. They've been saying all along, we're staying with Tua. That's what we're doing. Miami said, we're staying with Tua. What they wanted to find is the right trade partner. So Denver was interested in that Miami pick. San Francisco was obviously interested in that number 3 pick. I bet you a lot of teams were interested in that number 3 pick. Carolina was probably interested, but San Francisco gave them a third-round pick this year and 2 firsts. So that's a lot. So I'll tell you, say this for Brian Flores. He has accumulated a lot of draft picks, and they drafted pretty well so far.
Can we give Bill O'Brien like an honorary worst GM of all time award? They turned that Laremy Tunsil trade into 4 first round picks and a third round pick now.
Oh my gosh.
And well, they might turn it into another quarterback.
So if you're just tuning in, it makes sense. We've had 7 separate leaks on Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. So when stories are out, San Francisco is putting stories out because they want everybody in the league to know we're ready to play ball and make a deal. So when teams leak stuff out, they want it leaked out for a reason. If the Niners didn't want that Garoppolo stuff leaked out, it wouldn't get leaked out. You want it out there so you can tell all the teams, we're going to be calling, we're going to be making deals. Call us or we'll call you. So they aggressively went after it. Now, they're not going to move Garoppolo initially, but there was a story today. New England's still interested kicking the tires on Garoppolo. I think what they want to do, and I think Joy and I talked about this, I thought it would be Sam Darnold. What I think they want to do, San Francisco had to sign that Trent Williams deal. And Armstead's going to make a ton. And Kittle's deal's about to explode. if you start, and they just, Kittle's contract's big. They just gave their fullback, their Pro Bowl fullback, a ton of money. So if you start looking at San Francisco, the Bosa deal is going to be big. If you start looking at San Francisco, we theorized this about 4 or 5 days ago. They got a lot of big contracts to star players. They got to get cheap at quarterback. Because then it's like Baker. When you're not paying your quarterback, you're like Tom Brady. Tom Brady's only a $9 million cap hit. That's why Tampa can, you know, the average quarterback that's good is a $30 million cap hit. Tom Brady's $20 million less than that. You can sign Fournette and Ndamukong Suh. You can sign the Gronk again. You can sign Donovan Smith. And so San Francisco's got these great players. They're all great players. Bosa, Trent Williams, Kittle. These are great players. The bedrock of the foundation. They got to get cheap at quarterback. So San Francisco's like, hey, we're going to give up some first-round picks. We got the stars. What we need is a really talented quarterback that stays healthy, and we get 4 years of his small contract. So we theorized last week they need to get cheaper at quarterback. That's what they're doing. And so what they'll do is, my guess is, they'll bring a college kid in. Kyle Shanahan's system is very complex, but it's very favorable for quarterbacks. I mean, but Matt Ryan was an MVP with it. Matt Schaub was a Pro Bowler with it. Everything works. I mean, Garoppolo got to a Super Bowl with it. So will they trade him at the deadline after 8 weeks, or will they just keep him for a year and roll with it? But there you go. And I am told the Dolphins have moved back to 12, but they are discussing right now moving back up to 6 and trading it with Philadelphia. So that tells me what? It tells me Miami may not get a quarterback, but they have an offensive lineman they love. That's what it tells me. So with Tua, they went and got Will Fuller. So we see the Will Fuller move. We know they drafted Austin Jackson on the O-line next year. They probably have an offensive lineman or a receiver they don't want to miss out on, and they think at 12, there's about two or three great O-linemen. They all may be done by 12. Miami needs an offensive lineman. That's probably why they want to move back up, and now they have so many picks accumulated thanks to Bill O'Brien and this trade. They can trade a deal. And Philadelphia, by the way, does need to rebuild, because Philadelphia's got an aging offensive line that's always hurt. They have not hit on their draft picks at skill positions. So Philadelphia could use, if you're a Philadelphia fan and you get multiple picks, go for it. You move 6 to 12, what do you care? You're going with Jalen Hurts this year anyway. You want to get more picks. 99% of the teams in the NFL, I mean, Jacksonville's an exception. They need a quarterback, and there's a great one available. Most of these top picks, you're better off trading down anyway and getting most teams that draft in the first five are bad teams that can't be saved by one player. Philadelphia needs more draft picks. They don't need a quarterback at this moment, and they're not going to get one. They're not going to get one of the best three, certainly, and probably not one of the best four.
You guys like football? You like the NFL? You like the draft? Well, I have you covered. Three and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, scouted in the league. Now I talk about it for Colin Cowherd. Come check out the podcast. Coming up this weekend, Dan Snyder owns all of the Washington Redskins now. We dive into quarterbacks. We dive into some of the free agent signings this offseason and much more. Three and Out podcast. Go subscribe.
Albert Breer, late notice, Monday morning quarterback, is now joining us live. What a chaotic fun last half hour. So the Dolphins trade. They go from, you know, their spot was San Francisco. They trade back.
Yep.
And then they trade back up. So let's do this from the Miami perspective. So Miami's got that 3 pick. They move down basically saying, hey, we're going to stick with Tua. We're not going to get one of the top 3 quarterbacks. That's what it tells me. Then they move back up to 6. And you know what that tells me, Albert? They either have a receiver or an offensive lineman they like. That am I wrong on that?
Yeah. And the beauty of it to me and the genius of it is that by making the 2 trades, the first half of it, ensures that another position player is going to fall to them, right? Because now you've locked in that the top 3 picks are going to be quarterbacks, maybe the top 4.
Yeah.
That necessarily means maybe a Jamar Chase, maybe a Penei Sewell. One of those sorts of guys, a Kyle Pitts, is going to fall into your lap at number 6, and you're going to be able to get Tua some help. And so not only did you get all the capital that you got back for the number 3 pick, you're also able to get back up to number 6 and force the process in a way where the quarterbacks are going to go at the top and a position player that you like is going to fall in your lap.
Okay, now let's go to the San Francisco perspective. Mm-hmm. We know this well. When I keep hearing leaks from a team, a lot of times that team wants stuff out there to awaken the market to we're ready to make a move. Yep. So I'm not shocked San Francisco made a move. I thought Sam Darnold was a possibility, but I'll throw this at you. When they made that Trent Williams deal, Albert, and I started looking at the Armstead deal and the Trent Williams and Kittle and then Bosa and then the fullback, and I thought to myself, boy, they got to get cheap at quarterback. They got to get in a rookie quarterback. So the Trent Williams deal felt like, I think we said it on the air, it's like they can't pay $28 million for a quarterback, right?
Yeah, I mean, they probably could this year. It'll start to catch up with them as some of those numbers rise. I mean, you don't know, too. They've got some young players they like, Nick Bosa, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, that maybe they have to pay eventually, too, you know? And so their core is going to get expensive. And I think what the deal up for San Francisco is an acknowledgement, like, we're ready to take our big swing because we really don't need premium players anymore. We've got our core in place. We're going to be putting role players on our roster from here on out. And we really like the quarterback class. So let's go up and take our swing now. And I've told you this from the start, Colin. They were not moving off of Jimmy Garoppolo unless there was a clear upgrade out there for them. And, you know, I think over the last few weeks, they probably looked at Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Zach Wilson and said, you know what? These three guys are a clear upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo. And so, you know, you combine the financial part of it, which, you know, like you said, there's going to be benefit to having a cheaper quarterback on the roster so they can keep their core intact. And then sort of what they thought about the young quarterback class, you add one to the other and it's okay. The clear upgrade is here for us for Jimmy Garoppolo. It's going to help us keep our team together. Makes all the sense in the world, especially because we're not going to need those first round picks down the line to add more star players. We can focus more on putting role players around what we already have.
By the way, Albert, Arizona was aggressive. The Rams were aggressive. The Seahawks aggressive. Yeah. I mean, it feels like SEC football. Like, you just have to keep up, right? Like, San Francisco's got to keep up.
Yeah, here's an amazing fact, Colin. The Arizona Cardinals are the only team in the NFC West that currently has a 2022 first-round pick. The Seahawks traded theirs for Jamal Adams. The Niners have traded theirs in this deal. And, of course, the Rams traded theirs as part of the deal for Matthew Stafford. And so there's no question. You look at it, there's a big-time arms race going on. And I think the Rams sort of have set the tone for this for a few years now, the aggression with which they built their roster. San Francisco's in the Super Bowl a year ago. They, on paper, at least should be a lot healthier than they were last year. I think some people in Arizona are going to be fighting for their jobs in the fall. And, of course, you know, the Seahawks, you have the urgency that's been placed on the organization by Russell Wilson. There's no question. I mean, there's, I guess tension would be the right word, right, in the NFC West right now. I think it seems like there's a lot of tension in the NFC West to try and win in 2021.
Yeah, it's amazing. Some, you know, Cincinnati's history is they don't make deals. And it's like, okay, well, Miami does and San Francisco does and the Rams do. And it's this new world of young GMs. They are, you got a lot of movers and shakers. Now we talked about San Francisco, Miami. Let's go to the Philadelphia perspective. What this tells me moving out of the 6 to the 12 is, listen, we got a lot of needs, and we're going to stick with Jalen Hurts for a year. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, and add into that the fact that they built a layer of depth on their roster by adding Joe Flacco this week. I really look at, you know, where they are, and I think there is an acknowledgement there. We have some work to do in building the roster up. Now, they very much looked at this quarterback class. I mean, don't get that part of it mixed up. Their offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach were at North Dakota State. They were at Alabama to watch Mac Jones. And they're also there at BYU today to go and watch Zach Wilson. And so they very much kicked the tires on this year's quarterback class. I think there's an acknowledgement that they have to turn the page in that organization. The roster got old and it got expensive in a hurry. Sort of the same way New England's roster got old and expensive over the last couple of years because some of the cap ramifications of the last couple of years, they're going to be taking some of that on in 2021. They've obviously had to make some moves to get under the cap to begin with. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's part of this that's like, let's go take a look at Jalen Hurts, what we have. We already sunk a year into him. But I also think there's, you know, an acknowledgement that they need a lot more than just a young quarterback. And by the way, Colin, you look at the roster right now, might not be the healthiest situation for a young quarterback to enter into anyway. Yeah. So they'll get their evaluation of Jalen Hurts in 2021. Then, of course, they've got some firepower now in 2022 if they want to make a move up for a quarterback or if they have a very high pick to begin with next April.
Boy, this just blew up everybody's mock draft.
Yeah, it did mine.
By the way, we got a minute left, just a minute left. Garoppolo Niners rumors. You make anything of it today?
I think the Niners, well, look, you never say never, right? Yeah, I think the Niners' plan is to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, but if they get an offer that blows them away, if they're able to get back maybe, you know, what they gave up for Garoppolo in the first place, would they do that? Yeah, I mean, I think they would think about that. Now, ideally, I think they'd rather go forward with Jimmy Garoppolo as their starting quarterback if there isn't that sort of offer out there. Because remember this, Colin, when they traded for Jimmy Garoppolo in 2017, right? Do you remember what they did?
No.
They sat him for a month. They sat him for a full month because Kyle Shanahan didn't want to roll Jimmy Garoppolo out there before he knew his offense. So would he be willing to do that with a rookie? Would he be willing to kind of stake a championship team to a rookie? Like evidence tells us, having seen how he handled Jimmy Garoppolo, that he might not want to do that. And so I think absent like a really good return, I can see why they would, you know, might look at it and say, let's hang on to Jimmy Garoppolo for a year. And if he plays really well, you know what? Now his value is enhanced and we can move him for something good in 2022.
Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. Good stuff today. Wow. That's funny. You just released your mock draft, so you got to go back.
Yeah, I'm back to the drawing board.
I think I'm going to do one to start next hour. Good stuff, Albert. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Colin.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
So if you just joined us, the San Francisco 49ers have moved up to the number 3 spot in the draft. Miami moved down to 12 and then immediately moved back up to 6, and Philadelphia moved 6 down to 12, telling you they're going to stay with Jalen Hurts. I don't think it's a bad move at Philadelphia. Bottom line is, I've said this all along, unless there's a John Elway, an Andrew Luck, a Peyton Manning-ish, a Trevor Lawrence, and you need a quarterback, I have no interest being a top 5 pick. Trade down. It's expensive. These guys are not unproven. I think the league's made up. If it was up to me, I would always trade a first-round pick for a current star in the league, like the Rams with Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a corner as good as Jalen Ramsey in the first round. So I would always trade my first-round pick unless, you know, you are the Jags and Trevor Lawrence on the market.
Or if you're Philadelphia, you're in a complete rebuild.
They may not admit it, but they've whiffed on way too many players. All right, so let's just do a mock draft.
Okay.
This will be this will be America's most accurate mock draft for an hour. The rest of it's crap. All right, so the Jags have the first pick.
Yes.
This is the only thing we know for sure. Trevor Lawrence. He regionally fits. He was heralded as the best high school quarterback in a decade 3 years ago. He's just gotten better. It's a lot of Justin Herbert. He can run. He's smart. He's got self-awareness. He's got a big arm. Now, he plays with better people than Justin Herbert, but he was also winning national championship, and Justin Herbert was winning the Rose Bowl. So this is a no-brainer. Some people think he's a little thin. Folks, he's fine. He throws a beautiful ball. All right, so number 2, my guess is they're going to move Sam Darnold. I'll go with Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson can run. He's got a whip. I do worry about that he didn't beat good teams in college. But if you're Joe Douglas, you get 4 years of a cheap quarterback. Robert Saleh wants his own guy.
You have to do it.
And by the way, it's a battle in New York for eyeballs. The Giants have gone in free agency. The Brooklyn's winning in the NBA. The Yankees are going to be a World Series favorite. This is Sam Darnold is a little flat right now in New York. So San Francisco's now number third. Now, I don't have any insight on which guy they like. I'm going to roll the dice and say Trey Lance. Trey Lance is very mobile, big, strong, good kid, very humble. And by the way, Kyle Shanahan has mostly had quarterbacks that don't move. I think he likes the idea of having a big, strong kid that can move. By the way, Lance also called all of his own protections in college. So he's a very heady kid. This is a very complex offense. So I'm going to go Trey Lance number three. Now, this is where it gets dicey for me. This whole thing with Atlanta, I would not go for a quarterback. First of all, Matt Ryan's getting Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith saved Ryan Tannehill's career. So my belief is Matt Ryan and Arthur Smith, the numbers are going to go up, and we're going to be looking at Matt Ryan next year throwing 33 touchdowns with 9 picks, and you're going to be stuck with a backup quarterback. I think they got a million things to worry about. I would go get Penei Sewell, who is this left tackle from Oregon. And again, doesn't everybody in the NFL, outside of about 4 teams, need a great left tackle? So whether you have Matt Ryan, who's not overly mobile.
Yeah.
Again, I would love for them to get a defensive player, but there's no way the Atlanta Falcons scouting department has any of these defensive players ahead of the two offensive linemen.
I could see them trading back, too.
Absolutely. So number 5, Cincinnati. And again, they're probably not going to move. I would protect Joe Burrow, who's coming off an injury. So let's go. Rashawn Slater, the offensive lineman from Northwestern. He can do tackle. So the good news with him, they've already got Jonah Williams, a left tackle. And they've already got two receivers, Boyd and T. Higgins, I like. And they have a star running back. So they've got some nice components on the offense. And Joe Burrow was very good early. What they don't have is a quarterback that's totally healthy. He's off an injury, and Slater grades very high. He went toe-to-toe with Chase Young at Ohio State and held his own. And I think that's a good pick for them. Okay, now it gets interesting. Miami at 6. So what has Miami told us? Let's just think about this. We're sticking with Tua. Now, we all think that's a little bit of a risk.
Yes.
So what they want to do to ensure that Tua succeeds, they get him Will Fuller. They already have one receiver I like. Then they get Will Fuller. And then they have a tight end I like. I say they get Kyle Pitts, who is me the best tight end prospect I've ever seen. Played in the state of Florida. So now I got you a speed guy, Will Fuller, to go with a decent... I thought the Dolphins receiving core was okay anyway. It wasn't a weakness. Now I get you an over-the-top Will Fuller. They've already got... a tight end I like. Now you get a star tight end. So what they're telling you in Miami is, we're going to make this thing, if Tua can't work with these guys, we will know
right by
Thanksgiving we don't have the right quarterback. But they're gonna do like Cleveland's doing with Baker Mayfield. We're just going to give you a bunch of weapons.
And the New York Giants with Daniel Jones.
So that's what these teams are doing. Like, we're going to give you the weapons, and we'll know by Thanksgiving if you can play or not. So now Detroit has 7. This is a tough because they need defense, but Kenny Golladay is gone. So Jared Goff comes in. He's got no weapons. I'm going to say Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver at LSU, who's really a kind of a more complete potential receiver than Kenny Golladay. You can't bring Jared Goff in, and he has no number one wide receiver. You got to give him something to work with. So, again, I don't think they have so many needs. They have so many defensive needs. But, again, I think Chase probably grades higher than the defensive players at this spot. 8, Carolina. They need a quarterback. I'm going to say Justin Fields. So, I think, now again, I think they may move up to 4 eventually to ensure they get him. But I don't like to do trades before they happen with mock drafts. So I think they'll probably move up to Atlanta and make a deal. You hate to make a deal in your own division, though. Last thing you want to do is fortify Atlanta with a bunch of picks. So it's a dicey situation for Carolina. They drafted all defense last year, Joy.
Yeah.
My guess is they go Justin Fields, who I think has a chance to be really good. So now this is where I just go needs. So listen, Denver wants a quarterback, but I don't think Mac Jones, I'm not taking him there. So they just went out and bought Kyle Fuller, a very good corner from Chicago. I'll say what I said yesterday to Joel Klatt. I think they double down, get Caleb Farley, the Virginia Tech corner. They're so defensively, they have a million things to do. And I like their offensive personnel. I just don't love Drew Locke.
And you have to have strong corners in that division.
And last year, you remember, Joy, they went after wide receiver talent. The year before they went and got a star tight end. So, and they've got running back. So Denver's got your offensive components. But they're not good enough at quarterback to win shootouts. So they've got to keep these games in the 20s. So I think they go Farley the corner. Dallas at number 10. Again, Dallas went and got a safety from Atlanta, who's more of an in the box safety. He'll be up near the line of scrimmage. I still think they have a corner they like, but they let Byron Jones go a year ago. I say they get Patrick Surtain, the Alabama corner. That would be my guess. They really should have addressed this last year, but they went and got CeeDee Lamb. So they're secondary. They haven't had a great safety since Darren Woodson. That's why they were in the Earl Thomas talks and the Jamal Adams talks. Their secondary is a problem, and it's doubled down as a problem when they don't have a pass rush. So Surtain's another great Alabama prospect. 11. See, again, the Giants have already solved. They went and got Kyle Rudolph. So I would have put Pitts with him. Nope. They went and got Kenny Golladay. All right, I would have done receiver for them. Nope. They went and just spent a fortune on a Dory Jackson. So they don't need a corner. So when I look at the Giants, to me, I say protect Daniel Jones. That's the only thing. I mean, they've addressed their defensive line, wide receiver, tight end, corner. They've spent money on it. I say they go Elijah Vera Tucker, USC. They drafted their left tackle last year. He's a left guard. He was great. He can also play tackle. These days in the NFL, if you can play left tackle, you play right tackle, vice versa. You kind of just – everybody now looks at tackles as kind of both ways, unless you're the Becton for the Jets looks like a left tackle should look. So I would go Elijah Vera Tucker because I just think the Giants answered all their questions in free agency. And then Philadelphia, again, we've got Jalen Hurts. Now, the offensive line's healthy, but I think you have to go out and help him. And so I'm going to say Devontae Smith, wide receiver, yeah. Alabama. I don't think there's an offensive lineman at that spot they'd be comfortable with. And again, he's a playmaker. And if you have a young quarterback, you got to give him a shot. You got to be fair. You got to give these kids something to work with. And Devontae, a lot of years at Alabama. Alabama has a pretty sophisticated system. So he's going to come in and be able to figure things out pretty quick.